For the Department of Homeland Security, making its 22 components radio systems interoperable with one another has been an objective since the department was created in 2003. But today, DHS still can't account for all of its communications assets, let alone get them to talk to each other. Last night, the House passed legislation designed to get things moving. New Jersey Congressman Donald Payne is the ranking member of the House Subcommittee on Emergency Preparedness and the prime sponsor of the DHS Interoperable Communications Act. He talked with me about the legislation earlier this afternoon.
Coming into the Committee on Homeland Security and specifically the Subcommittee on Emergency Preparedness, I was really shocked to learn that nationwide, you know, we had spent $13 billion to achieve interoperable communications, and to this point, we have not been successful. So it opened an issue for me, understanding that within DHS, you know, people need to be able to communicate, and having spent this type of money, you know, to that end, and it's still not being achieved was something very disturbing to me.
And we should be clear, I think that $13 billion that you're talking about includes funds that went to state and local governments, for example, to make their own radio systems more interoperable with each other, right? So, which is a separate issue from within DHS, correct?
Very, and I'm glad you said that. It is a separate issue. We're concerned about the department and its ability to communicate within the different sectors of the DHS. There have been great strides made in state and local governments, and especially in my district of Newark, in contact with my first responders on a consistent basis, and you know, things are going well in them achieving it. But you know, also in the like at the Super Bowl, we found that our state and locals were able to interact and communicate and do a great job there. Also, during the Boston Marathon bombings, there was great, you know, interoperable communications going on there. We had a hearing several weeks ago, and we had people from the Boston bombing there. And he talked about once the bombs were detonated, they were able to clear the area of all the injured within 22 minutes, and I found that astounding, based on the chaos that you know, those bombs wreaked. They were able to get everyone to the hospitals within 22 minutes. The problem is really DHS and them setting the example. You know, $430 million, you know, of that $13 billion was set up to you know, get communication capabilities for its, there are 123,000 radio users, and since 2003, but you know, personnel still don't have reliable interoperable communications for daily operations. So it's a real issue within the department, and we feel that they should set the example.
And so we should talk a little bit about what your bill actually does. As I read it, it's primarily just creating some new reporting requirements for DHS, right? You want to do some oversight here by requiring them to generate a report on what current capabilities are, what the problems are, and where they're headed. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, back in 2012, I believe, there was an inspector general came before the committee in May, and he had a study conducted, and he asked 479 Department of Homeland Security field radio users to access and use a specified channel to communicate. And at that test, only one of those 479 users could get on the common channel. You know, that's like a 99.8% failure rate.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some real issues there. The bill just, you know, really tries to get to you know, DHS-wide interoperability. But, you know, I think it's essential that, you know, DHS takes the lead and leads by example, you know, for our state and local responders to follow suit.
And in particular, your bill specifies and makes clear in law that the Undersecretary for Management is the point person for getting this done. Any particular person you vest, any particular reason, rather, you vest that person with that responsibility, or does there just kind of need to be one single belly button, regardless of who it is?
Well, there should be, you know, definitely one person, and you know, we felt that it made sense for it to be the Undersecretary of Management. And so, Chris Comiskey, who is in that position now, has expressed his commitment, you know, to addressing the issue. And, when he appeared before the committee. And you're correct. This would have them report back every 6 months, you know, on the department's progress on achieving department-wide interoperability. So it's once again a situation of Congress doing its job and making sure the departments are meeting their goals and have protocols in place. And that was another thing we found, that there weren't any protocols in place for these components to reach the goal. So this will allow us to review it every 6 months and make recommendations from the committee and move forward.
Well, that gets to another one of my questions, because my sense is that at the department level, at least, the top folks have expressed this as a priority, at least given lip service to it for a very long time. So is it your sense that this is one of those cases where they may just not have the authority / leverage to enforce it and get all the components pointed in the same direction?
Well, I think it's really something that we have identified and have brought to their attention, that now we're on top of this, we're paying attention, and it's going to be incumbent upon them to reach this goal. When you talk about $13 billion, $430 million of the taxpayers' money, we need some success. We need something in place that will allow us to achieve the goal. So, we're going to remain steadfast on this issue. It's something I've been working on for over a year, and I was just, very pleased to see that the entire voting body of the Congress felt the same way. And so it has to probably also send a message to DHS that, this is something that we're serious about achieving. And it's very difficult to bring 22 different entities together, and that's been one of the chores and tasks of the four secretaries of Homeland, to get these 22 different entities to work as one. And it's a challenge. It's definitely a challenge. So, Director Secretary Johnson has also made a commitment to me to try to achieve this goal as soon as possible.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, because the radio issue is probably just another symptom of the challenge of bringing 22 into one, rather than a root issue unto itself.
Absolutely.
And so, as we said before, your bill here is primarily a demand for information from DHS. Do you have any sense of what the next steps are once they report back, or is that just impossible to say, not knowing what the reports are going to say?
It's a little difficult now, but we've laid down the parameters, and we will definitely, prior to that report, still probably have them come before us and tell us how they're doing, and just continue to let them know that we're going to remain vigilant, and they're going to have to finally get to a point where this interoperability is a reality. So, any help that we can be, and we made that clear to the department from our side on in the House, we'll do what we can. And but if we don't know, we can't help. So, that is a really important part of the reporting mechanism, so we can see where there are deficiencies or where we could possibly be helpful. But, it's out in the open. It's something that needs to be done. And it's just a matter of making sure that the homeland is secure. And, if people can't communicate, then I don't know how we achieve that.
One last thing before I let you go, because the House passed several bills that originated in the Homeland Security Commission committee, rather, in addition to yours. One of them, also dealing with communications, was to create a social media working group across the Department of Homeland Security. I know that wasn't your bill, but wanted to see if you had any particular views on that piece of legislation.
Well, I worked closely with Chairwoman Brooks, who was the sponsor of that bill, and you know, there were a lot of. We know that primarily younger people now. That's the way they communicate, whether it be Facebook or Instagram or whatever the newest app is. That's the way they communicate. That's the way they get their information. That's the way they get their news. So it is really important that we have that type of interaction with the American people through media. And also that we had great experiences with social media through some of our disasters prior. You know, once again, the Boston bombings, they, you know, people were able to go to Google Doc and see where, you know, people that couldn't get back to their hotels, there are people that offered their homes, you know, as shelter for people. During Sandy, you know, people were able to show the devastation of the shoreline and where there were gas stations that were open and grocery stores and pharmacies that were still open during that devastation. So social media is going to play, you know, an even greater part in our society moving forward. And so, you know, I applaud Ms. Brooks on identifying that and bringing this social media working group together and finding best practices.